Chapter 10. Time is the only prison from which prison frees us. Gavin woke with a new sense of vigour. Of course, the light was still the same, so he had no idea how long he'd slept. He accepted his ignorance as a gift. He'd slept until he was no longer tired. And he felt better, stronger than last night. The pain faded from his eye to a dull throb. He felt almost his old self. Or, he thought as he stretched and became aware of it, maybe that was just his erection. Somehow, despite the narrowness of the palanquin, neither of them had fallen off it in the night, and Mauricia's form was plastered to his. The curve of her butt was holding down what was straining to be up. His twitch seemed to waken her. He couldn't shift away. He'd been imprisoned, nude, and with Mauricia only in her light shift. She could hardly help but notice his state if he moved. Mauricia knew his body like no one else in the world. But then she made his stillness moot by shifting her own position. She hesitated and gave a luxurious moo. She'd always loved morning sex.
"Is that for me?" she asked.
It wasn't, but it seemed rude to say so. He cleared his throat as she rolled over with impressive dexterity, anchoring a leg on his hip and looking into his face. She pulled her body close.
"You're feeling better, aren't you?" she asked.
"Much." A cloud passed over her face.
"Then your father will take me away soon."
And like every freedom, the freedom from time offered by this prison was revealed to be a lie. Gavin said, "I can pretend to be sicker than I am.
But we can't know when he's watching, so that's hopeless, isn't it?"
Gavin hesitated, then said, "Yes." She looked into his eyes with a serenity that defied sense.
"He'll kill me."
Gavin nodded, throat thick. She was a loose end.
"Will you do me a favor?" she asked.
"Anything."
"Make love to me."
Her fingernails brushed lightly down his back, in the way he liked. But having really seen her for the first time just last night, how could he now ignore her deep currents and see only the surface? Easily. Oh, so easily. Her eyes were hot, intense, full of longing and grief and fear.
"One last time, please. Show me I meant something to you."
Orholm have mercy. Gavin remembered the last time he'd made love with Mauricia, just before he'd left the Chromeria, how he'd felt as if he were somehow cheating on Caris, though that was before they'd married. He'd rejected the guilt then. Every lord kept a room slave. Most kept more than one. Gavin was downright abstemious by comparison with others, and certainly compared to others in his class. That day Mauricia had made love to him like fire, all longing and hidden rage and despair. No wonder. And she felt all that again now, and worse. She said, "Show me I meant something to you," but she meant, "Let's blot out feeling and fear, let's do what we've always done." She would make love as if it would make him love her. Mauricia pulled her shift away from between them, and her body was hot against him, and not for the first time in his life Gavin split. His body said what his will did not. Mauricia's ears had been clipped. She had been sold, even if she'd chosen it. She had been a slave, hadn't she? She'd been treated as a slave, so that made her one, didn't it? And slaves weren't quite covered by wedding oaths, were they? He owed her this. She'd made love to him many times when she probably hadn't really wanted to. Didn't he owe her this once? And he did want to. But Caris, his wife. She would never find out. If she found out, she would understand. If she understood, she would forgive him, as she had forgiven him so many other things. But what another will forgive is shitty ethical measurement, isn't it? Caris would understand that she'd married a faithless piece of shit. Caris would understand that you don't blame shit for being shit. It's your own fault for thinking you could polish shit and find gold. "I'm tired of being shit, of being a liar, of being an oath-breaker." This wasn't about Caris. It was about Gavin and what kind of man he was. Gavin the liar. Gavin get-along, who wanted everyone to love him, and quietly cheated in the background. Gavin the grey. Gavin's hunger was a trumpet, blaring in his own ear. His body wanted satisfaction. It knew the pleasures of Mauricio's body. He deserved this, didn't he? He should take what small comfort he could. Some sweetness, after all he'd been through. If Mauricio had made the slightest move to please him, had rocked her hips against him, had brought his hands to her breasts, had kissed his cold lips, he would have acted. He would have damned himself again, eagerly. He was that weak. But she didn't. She knew him that well. More than that, her self-control told him that she loved him that much. "Mauricio," he said, pained. "Caris," she said. It was defeat. It was heartbreak. She scooted back, unhooked her leg from over his. Her face fell. She deserved so much more. "My oaths, Mauricio. They've been worth nothing for my whole life. This is my last chance." She got off the palanquin and swallowed. "Am I always to be cast off and second best, my lord? Here at my end, is there nothing left for me?" And then she wept. There were no corners in the spherical cell, but she huddled as far away from him as possible, knees to her chest, hiding her face. She'd wasted her whole life on him. Where was his golden tongue now? Gavin sat up with effort, and pain lanced through his burned eye again, leaving him breathless for a long moment. There had to be something to say that was honest and true and comforting, but Gavin wasn't a master of words like that.
"So you live."
Gavin nearly got whiplash, looking for the source of that oddly disappointed voice. A panel had opened in the wall, and something stung Gavin's chest. His one good eye took in his father in a split second. He wanted to lunge and kill that old bastard. But he looked down. A dart was stuck in his chest, and it felt warm. So warm. "Mauricio," Gavin said. But he wasn't sure what he wanted to tell her now. His thoughts were thick. Gooey. This was it. The end.
"Put these on, Colleen,"
Andros Guile said. He stood powerful, as if he'd dropped 20 years and packed on a few sevs of muscle. He tossed a pair of manacles over to her, utterly certain she would obey. He didn't even see her. Andros stared at Gavin, an intensity in his deep eyes, but he said no more.
"You can't."
"I need her," Gavin said.
"Need her?"
There was an edge of dark amusement in his voice. "Please, please don't kill her. I'll go mad without her."
"Go mad? You're worried about going mad?"
Andros said. He laughed, a free and open sound in the cell, and turned away, dismissive. Gavin swung his legs over the side of the palanquin. He stood, wobbled, braced himself on the palanquin. The warmth had spread everywhere. He blinked, suddenly on the floor. Drool dribbling down his cheek, the dart in his chest was gone. The palanquin was gone. Carried out by Mauricio and Andros? He tried to speak, but couldn't make words. But Mauricio and Andros hadn't left, not yet. The last thing Gavin saw was Mauricio's tear-streaked face as she was pulled out of the prison, hopeless, broken, looking back at him for what he couldn't give. And then she was swallowed by the darkness.